Awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Good morning, everyone. We're so glad to have you here with us today. For those of you who are with us online, we're so glad to have you with us. And if you're visiting with us, we're so pleased and honored that you're with us this morning. We're going to light the Christ candle now to remind us that Christ is with us and in us today and always. Now listen as I read from the Psalms, Psalm 51, verses 1 through 10, the Word of God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and I see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is accounted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness, the great, unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tenderest care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy fold prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Now, as we have on previous Sundays, let's read together Jesus' pronouncement. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
I want to begin by thanking all of you who have had a part this morning in preparing food to serve down at the Impact Church later today. Thanks to your generosity and your time and your labors in the kitchen, we have meals for 250 people today, and it cost us about $500. So that is a great blessing for them and a blessing for us. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks because you have called us to this place. You have built of us a very special family. It seems the world around us is raging. People are angry everywhere. But we can come here. We can enjoy the quiet. We can enjoy the love of one another. And we can serve. We give you, Father, thanks because we know it is your Spirit upon us that is causing us to care for one another and for our less fortunate brothers and sisters. Father, I pray this morning for Steve Sargent. I pray that your Spirit be upon him as he enjoys his sabbatical, as he contemplates our future. And we pray, Father, that you will move in him with a sense of inspiration that will show him ways to help us in the future. Father, we are very blessed. We know we don't deserve it. You have shown your grace and mercy to us, and for that we give thanks. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast thought, so let me speak. Strengthen me that while I stand firm on the rock and strong in thee, I may stretch out a loving hand to wrestlers with the troubled sea. Oh, teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things thou dost impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hidden depths of in your heart. Oh, fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart overflow in kindling thought and glowing word, thy love to tell, thy praise to.
I'll be reading this morning from Luke, chapter 15, 1 through 10. It's difficult to read this in a society that speaks and measures by coins of gold, and not by blessings from God. Please be with me. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the opened country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And carries it home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Over one sinner who repents. Just one.
We have our roots table set up in the back of the auditorium. For those of you who are elementary school age, if you'd like to be part of our service back there, we have it ready. And I believe we have someone there to supervise. They'll be going. Wonderful. Thanks so much.
With Charles's comments, I was thinking that would really be good if the timing was right before the sermon. And I look down at the program, and it's right before the sermon. So I guess the Lord answered that prayer for me. So I appreciate that, Charles, because you're exactly right. This particular passage is very convicting of many of the assumptions we make of what's important and maybe what should be important. It's good to be with you. I'm Virgil Fry. I'm part of Lifeline Chaplaincy that this congregation helped launch. I came here in 1985 with more hair and brown hair and some other changes, a wife, Carol, and two kids that were 5 and 2. They, this weekend, are in Dallas celebrating Layla's 14th birthday. And I'm not quite sure how that happened so fast, but it did. But we rejoice with them. And again, you are such a part of their journey. So impactful, and it's just amazing what you provide them, and I'm sure you get a blessing from them being a part of you as well. So thank you for that. They're also going by the cemetery in Dallas where my wife Carol is buried. This is actually the 15th anniversary day, if you want to use that word, of her death. She died in 2007 on September the 25th. So it's a very poignant day, and she was very tied into this congregation. I still remember her and Marie Bannister meeting in wheelchairs in the foyer at Harold's funeral, and just reaching out and grabbing each other. And that's one of my most precious memories of the two of them getting to visit. So thank you for today. I commend you for uh, letting Steve go for a little while for sabbatical. He loves this church dearly. He gives his all to it, as does Chelsea. And may this 6 weeks, as Steve said in his prayer, be a time of refreshment for all of them. There's a quote in Bread for the World that introduces this passage that we just heard read to us. The parables in Luke break any assumption about what is typical and take the reader to an unexpected behavior. The parables reverse the priorities. The shepherd seeks for one lost sheep and rejoices and celebrates when one is found. The woman seeks for her one coin and celebrates when she finds it. Both parables conclude with heaven's celebration when one of us discovers God's merciful solidarity. God's merciful solidarity, when we know that we are one with God based on the good news. So the passage begins with some righteous spiritual gatekeepers, I would call them, that were a little upset, mumbling and grumbling that Jesus was eating and drinking with those that they called sinners and tax collectors. I pay my income tax quarterly and just mailed my quarterly check a couple of weeks ago, so I could be one of those grumblers about the tax collectors. I kind of get that one, but that's a different topic altogether, so I won't go there. But Jesus, I think in his two parables that he brings about hearing the grumbling, breaks any assumption about what is typical, as this just said. Leaving behind 99 well-tended-to sheep in order to seek out one rebellious and lost stray is very impractical. Shaking a house upside down to find one coin when you still have the other nine makes sense and is understandable, but then to turn around and throw a celebratory party with your neighbors with probably the cost of that one coin, which was considered a day's wage, that seems by us kind of foolish, maybe even extravagant. And this seems to be the point. Human standards of frugality, let's cut our losses and keep going, are clinging to someone or something that has been lost, and then you find it and you try to cling to it and hold even tighter, is not apparently God's way. God exudes extravagance, God throws parties, and enjoys doing so for all of his creation, not just the crowds, but the singular one. It's the one that discovers God's merciful solidarity that gets the party. It's the one that lets herself be expansive in looking at God's presence as more than just an angry, distant deity, which many of us believed about God. But God is being seen as actually a party thrower that moves her into newer, more loving ways of being. It's the one that expands simple spirituality from a set of enforced rules keeping to a spirituality of the living, breathing relationship with a God who cares for all humans. The one learning that faith is evolving within us with the Spirit's guidance, moving us towards enlightenment rather than entitlement. I don't like feeling lost. First day that I visited on my own at MD Anderson Cancer Center as a chaplain, a Marie Bannister had walked me through there a few days earlier, but I went on my own that day, spent the day there, connected with many staff and chaplains and patients and families. It was a heavy day. It was overly stimulating. Here I was in a brand new location, doing a work that I had never done before, wondering what in the world am I doing in Houston, Texas, a city I said I would never live in, and all of those things. But it was a good day, but I remember walking to this high-rise garage to leave, and I was ready to go, and I was actually staying with the Bannisters during that month until the rest of the family moved down. I get in the car and go down, paid the toll at the little toll booth there, and pulled out onto the street that goes onto Holcomb. And I went as blank as I could be. I had no idea, do I turn left or do I turn right? There's no cell phones, remember, there's no GPS, I had no help. It was all up to me, and I knew I had a 50-50 chance of getting it right. But I honestly had this panicky feeling, which way do I go? I chose wrong, by the way. But it was the pressure of it, the feeling lost in a strange city, in a new environment, and people were behind me waiting for me to make up my mind, and you know how patient people can be on that. And yet, that's just the feeling that went with it that day. I will never forget that. I don't like losing precious items. I have a passport. I know I have a passport. I have used it. I have filed it away so well that I cannot find it. It's in a storage closet that I have looked for, and I think the more I look, the more hidden it gets. It's there, and someday it will surface. But it's just a frustrating feeling to lose something that you value and that you need, and I can't put my hands on it. Maybe some of you have the same kind of filing system where you can, you know, file it so well. So we get it. We get it. Finding the right road after feeling lost, or finding a precious item or a person after feeling lost, it's worth rejoicing over. And that's when I wonder if maybe this way of Jesus turns America's values of what's really successful in faith and what we call church on its head. Meaning, rather than measuring success only by huge numbers and large contributions, both important, on our better days, we notice and care for the one who's down on his or her financial resources, or their family has split, or reaping consequences that they have made with some poor life choices. Or maybe when we're aware of the one griever who's lost a significant partner or child or someone precious. Or the one faith struggler who's lost a sense of meaning, purpose, and spiritual resources and feels totally lost. For in truth, those losers are you and me at some point. We're all there at some point. I got challenged once for speaking to a group of folks by stating the fact that we are all losers. I was from The Wild Edge of Sorrow, Francis Weller observes this harsh reality: everything we love, we will lose. That is, it's just the truth. It's there in Scripture. It's there in all kinds of teachings. If you live long enough, we all know we will lose everything. So I was going on about the fact that in one sense, we're all losers. Whether it's your health or your finances or a family member or enlisted all of that. And then I also went on to say, but we're also built to be resilient. And we have a power within us with resilience. And if somebody walks with us, we have that resilience. Well, when I finished my thing on everybody being a loser, there was a lady who found me during the break, and she was not happy with me, to say the least. She said, "I am not a loser, and I don't appreciate you calling me one. I am a winner." And she went on to explain, and I just let her. And guess who the next speaker was following me? It was her, and guess what her first comment was? "I want Virgil Fry to know that I am not a loser." Well, she probably overreacted, I probably overstated it, and somewhere in the middle, it's both of those. We are losers and we're winners, and Jesus acknowledges that. We need someone to help us when the losses are so strong that that's all we feel. And I'll guarantee you, each one of us can recall the names of people that have been with us, who have journeyed with us, who have put us on their shoulders, and carried us when we couldn't very well carry ourselves. The ones who helped us journey when we really felt lost. And that's when we knew we weren't totally alone. Just take a moment and recall somebody or some people like that to yourself and be grateful. Several years ago, I volunteered to be at the big event that's at the George R. Brown on Thanksgiving Day, when they bring all the people in, and they had this huge warehouse just stocked completely, and it was so well done. They had clothing over here and some groceries over here and a hot meal over here. They had a clinic over here. It was just, to me, I was so impressed. And the people who were going to receive this were people that didn't have enough to feed their family that day, or were living on the streets, and folks that needed a helping hand. But instead of having them all come in at once, they had it set up so they would bring in one at a time, or a family at a time, and they would get to go with a volunteer and go shopping. Instead of handing them a bag and moving on, they got to go shopping, which I thought was really pretty cool. But they asked some of us to stand in the line and to greet the ones that were being brought in. So they would announce somebody, they would come in, and those of us in this line would applaud whoever walked through that door. And it startled a lot of them because it was so welcoming. And so we would applaud them. A volunteer would then walk over and say, okay, let's go shopping, and take them around. One lady came through that will live with me the rest of my life in my head. She was pulling her suitcase behind her. My guess it was probably most everything she owned was in that suitcase. And so she was pulling it out, and she looked up and saw all of us and heard the applause. And as soon as she heard the applause, she literally stopped, and her hands went right to her eyes because she started weeping, because she was feeling welcomed, and she didn't often get to get that feeling from people. And some of the rest of us who were watching this and participating joined her in her tears. I mean, it was very moving to see someone feeling like they belonged that day in a place that they often didn't feel. So, to me, this is what Jesus is all about. Found this quote from Dan Bushell, who's the director of Mission Resource Network, and it's a very challenging quote, but I think it fits in well with what Jesus is saying. You say you are a Christian, then love the people you despise the most. Bless those who deplore you. Do good to those whom you fear are destroying everything you care about. Pray for the good of those you want to fail. This is the way of Jesus. So maybe what this means, these parables of the lost sheep and the lost coins, are us. And they point us in this way. Let's slow down the grumbling. Something I'm pretty good at, by the way. And it's really not that helpful. Let's tap down the spiritual gatekeeping of who belongs in and who doesn't, because we don't know the full story. Let's sit at the feet of Jesus and learn to enjoy the celebration of being found. And in so doing, let us become sensitive to those around us needing a spiritual companion and a welcome home party. A party hosted by an impractical, extravagant God. Amen.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. As is our custom, we have the Lord's table prepared for all to partake. If a few of you would like to help me serve, we will serve and we'll all partake together after I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to be your people in this place and time. As we take this supper as you have commanded us, may we do so in a manner that is pleasing in your sight. For we love you, and in the name of your Son we pray. Amen. And now we have an opportunity to give back to God just a portion of what he has blessed us with. Just a moment, Glenn will come up and we'll pass our plate. We have a number of cards you may have seen on the backs of your chairs. If you have any information you'd like to give us or to give just a pat on the back to someone with encouragement cards, you can put those in the plate as they come around. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings you have given us. Bless this tiny portion that we return to you that it may be used in your work here on this earth. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. In just a few moments, Virgil will come and will give us our benediction, but now we have some family matters. This Thursday, as we have in past Thursdays, we'll have our Thursday Bible class. It's at 10:30 a.m. We are meeting in person in the conference room over here in the office wing and on Zoom. If you'd like to participate by Zoom, just let King know in the office and he'll send you the Zoom link. We're also going to have next Sunday, next slide please, our yearly business meeting. This will come right after the worship service, and we'll have our budget. We'll discuss all our details of what we've done this past year and our plans for the future. Please feel free to come and ask any questions. Our shepherds will be here and ready to answer them. Also, today we're serving at the Impact Houston Church. We're serving lunches today. We need some volunteers to go and help serve the lunch. If that's something you'd like to do, just talk to Steve Sandifer here. We can get you the directions. Thank you so much for being here today.
May we all feel the embrace of this impractical, extravagant God and be willing to share that love with each other and with the world. Go in peace.